Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Happy Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. What a great time of the church year for us to welcome the great gift that the Lord has given to us. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit, reflect on the resurrection itself and what the Catechism teaches us about the resurrection and its meaning. It really is, I think St. Augustine said at one point, Christianity is the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is new life. Jesus is the firstborn of a whole new creation. That's why Christianity is so much more than just a moral system or another religion. It is God's own Son literally saving the human race by taking human flesh from death to life into eternal life and really filling it with glory. And I want to share about that glory today as we listen to the Catechism and some of what Jesus himself said in the scriptures about that glory. I want to begin with paragraph 638. He says, "We bring you the good news." It's quoting the apostle. "We bring you good news that what God promised to the fathers this day, he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus," from the Acts of the Apostles it came from. So the paragraph goes on. It says, "The resurrection of Jesus is the crowning truth of our faith in Christ, a faith believed and lived as the central truth by the first Christian community, handed on as fundamental by tradition and established by the documents of the New Testament and preached as an essential part of the Paschal mystery along with the cross. Christ is risen from the dead, dying he conquered death. To the dead he has given life. Blessed be God." Paragraph 639, "The mystery of Christ's resurrection is a real event." This is really at the centerpiece of it. It's important for us to hear this obvious fact. Christianity is proclaiming a truth. It's a claim about a historical fact. Now, when I was in the seminary years ago, it was a bit of a novelty with some professors to say, well, you know, Jesus never physically rose from the dead, that he rose in the minds of the apostles. Essentially, was denying, obviously, the central fact of Christianity. Paul will say later, if Jesus has not risen from the dead, then we are still in our sins. Our faith is in vain. The reason that we can rejoice and what's at the center of the Christian faith is that Jesus has solved the sin problem and the death problem through his life by literally giving up his life as an offer to the fathers. We've reflected on over this last 40 days and then during the Passion Week in particular, Jesus gave his life as an offering in obedience to the Father in love for the sake of the salvation of the world. And through the shedding of his blood, he cleansed us and made it possible for us to be cleansed from all stain of sin, which is what the real problem that separates us from God and causes us, as St. Paul would say, to live without any hope in the world, being under the power of sin and death itself. And Jesus, taking on human flesh, passed from death to life. He conquered it all and rose to a new life. That's why Paul will say, look, if Jesus didn't rise, then Christianity's worthless. Because in the end, if he didn't pass from death to life, and he didn't have an existence beyond death in his bodily form, there's no salvation for the human race. Then he said, then you might as well eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you're going to die, and you're going to die in your sins, and you have no hope, and you have no future beyond death. So Paul was very, very clear about that. And here the Catechism itself is very clear, and just echoing the fact. Paragraph 639 goes on and says, in about AD 56, St. Paul could already write to the Corinthians, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. The apostle speaks here of the living tradition of the resurrection, which he had learned after his conversion at the gates of Damascus. Of course, when we know the famous scene where the Lord, the resurrected Christ, appeared to St. Paul, in that moment of conversion, Paul received his call from the Lord to preach the gospel so that human beings could pass from death to life and be set free from the bondage of Satan and come into the presence of the living God, to move from darkness to light. Darkness is the shadow of death. Darkness is the reality and the domination of sin over the human heart. And Jesus is the light of the world, and he shed his light into every human heart that's baptized into him, has heard the gospel and responded. section 3 of this part of the catechism called The Meaning and the Saving Significance of the Resurrection. Paragraph 651, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. The very passage I just mentioned from Paul. The resurrection, above all, constitutes the confirmation of all Christ's works and teachings. The resurrection of Jesus vindicates everything he said, everything he did, everything he taught, everything he claimed about himself. It's vindicated in the resurrection. Without it, he's just another historical, religious figure, spiritual guru, wise philosopher, something like that. This is why Jesus literally is the only savior of the world. I was thinking of the passages that we caught glimpses of as the church made her way through the Passion from John's Last Supper discourse. We've talked about that here on the program a little bit. I was thinking in particular today of Jesus' self-awareness of what was unfolding in his own Passion, especially in chapter 17, the beautiful prayer where Jesus prays for the church. He prays for the church at that point, which was the apostles and Our Lady and those gathered with him at the Last Supper. And he prays for us. And it's instructive to hear what Jesus prayed and what he knew was about to happen. He said, verse 17, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to all you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory which I had with you before the world was made. Jesus knew where this final hour was to lead. He trusted completely in the Father. Jesus understood that the Father had given him power over all flesh, that in him was beginning the new creation. A new humanity was going to be born in Jesus through his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of God. This is the central reality of what Jesus has accomplished for us. He's begun a new race of people, you could say, born of the Spirit. Remember what he said to Nicodemus? He said, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is giving the human race, at the Father's command, he's offering the human race an opportunity, the one and only opportunity, that is, to pass from death to life and enter fully into God's kingdom, to be able to share in the life which belongs to God. And again, verse 3, paragraph 17 here, and this is eternal life, that we know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory we had. So Jesus, for all eternity, shared in the glory of the Father. He's the eternally begotten Son of God. But in the incarnation, he took on human flesh for the purpose of taking that human flesh into the presence of God and bringing humanity into a share and a literal experience of being clothed in glory. In Jesus, humanity, Jesus is the second Adam. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 15, Adam was a living being, that Jesus is a life-giving spirit. This is what Jesus means when he says he's been given power over all flesh. He's now the only future that the human race has that gives life is the future that's in him, that's in Jesus. Jesus sharing with human beings what belongs to him, his inheritance, as the firstborn son, the kingdom, the glory, the life that he shares with the Father. This is the gift that he's giving to us. It's absolutely amazing. This is why it's the centerpiece of our faith. Paragraph 651 again, it says, all truths, even those most inaccessible to human reason, find their justification in Christ by his resurrection. He has given the definitive proof of his divine authority, which he had promised. So all he said about himself was vindicated in the resurrection. This is worth thinking deeply about, friends. What Jesus says about the world, about its origin, about its meaning, about God, about what matters in life, about the condition of the human race, about the problem of sin and death, about our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, about his total authority and victory over all those powers, and that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Everybody else can just talk about it. Everybody else can just point. Jesus actually is the perfection and the totality of all positive aspirations the human heart has and expresses in different ways to desiring eternal life and ultimate meaning. It is Jesus for which all of it was made and from which all of it comes and all of it's going back to him. And Jesus is going to present it all to the Father. That is presenting us to the Father. Paragraph 652, Christ's resurrection is the fulfillment of the promises of both of the Old Testament and of Jesus himself during his earthly life. The phrase, in accordance with the scriptures, indicates that Christ's resurrection fulfilled these predictions, that the Old Testament and did anticipate in key places the resurrection from the dead. We know the Pharisees and the Sadducees disagreed about it, but the whole work of God, which is culminated in Jesus' enthronement in heaven, in his ascension, which we'll celebrate in weeks ahead, when he sits down at the right hand of the Father with all authority, then he pours out the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit now is given to the human race on the day of Pentecost, and the church is born by a miracle of new life that flows from the person of Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one filled with the Holy Spirit. Paragraph 653, the truth of Jesus' divinity is confirmed by his resurrection. He said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. He's the Son of Man. The most common phrase in the Old Testament, prophets, Daniel, others, a way of speaking of the Messiah, the unique one, the one whose kingdom would last forever. The resurrection of the crucified one shows that he was truly the I Am, the Son of God and God himself. So this is the claim. Jesus is not just a prophetic figure that God is raising up. Jesus is of the same nature. Jesus is divine. He's the God-man. And this is why this perfect offering of this perfect person, Jesus, sinless, pure, holy, he offered up his life for us. And in that offering, that act of love, we see that love conquers. But what love? See what love? The love of God is what conquers. It's the total surrender of a loving God who comes to rescue us from the powers of sin and death. Love in Jesus conquers all things. There's a lot of ways our culture talks about love. Jesus defines love. Jesus defines the apex, the epitome, the core, the center, the source of love. And he communicates to us through his death and resurrection on the cross, the pathway for each one of us. Make your life an offering to God. And humble yourself, as Jesus did, becoming obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And God raised him up and has exalted him. That's our pathway, friends. It began in baptism. It will continue through our life. And like Jesus, we can give glory to God and share in that glory by walking in obedience to him. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.